We're starting this two-part message about conflict that we're going to talk about regarding diffusing and resolving conflict. And let me start out this way with a Peanuts cartoon. Some of you are avid Peanuts readers, aren't you? Go ahead and raise your hand. We're going to get to know you. That's right. And so this is with where Lucy and Snoopy were having a conversation, and Lucy says to Snoopy, says, you know, much of the time, Snoopy, you just bug me. You know, she's always bugged by something. You just bug me. But I need to let you know that there are times when I just want to come up and give you a great big hug. And so Snoopy replies, well, that's the way I am. I am huggable and I am buggable. Yeah, and people are like that too, aren't we? This is where you say amen. You agree? Yes, we are. Sometimes we're huggable, and sometimes we're buggable to others, and others are to us. Right? This is about conflict, or just tensions in relationships, or sometimes just people just kind of annoy us or bug us, and we might get up in arms like Lucy does sometimes in her life. Well, we find that most often conflict can happen with people that are closest to us and dearest to us. The ones we do want to hug and love and we like most of the time, but sometimes they get on our nerve. Or something comes up to where a little bit of tension or even conflict. Tension builds to where at some point conflict just strikes the spark and can escalate from there, as we would all know that. Friendships, we can kind of, struggle sometimes, even in close friendships, where we're in and out of that friendship a little bit. It might be a rough season that we'd have to deal with that. So they say before marriage, opposites attract. And they also say that after marriage, opposites can attack, right? Conflict can happen in marriage. And anybody that's been married probably can attest to that, okay? That conflict can happen even in marriage. Not only that, but in the church, the old saying goes this way, we long to live in heaven together in God's glory. To live together down on earth, well, that's another story. Some of you have heard that too and experienced it maybe, right? Even in the church, there can be some conflict. Conflict, let's face it, is inevitable. Conflict happens if you're a human being and you're rubbing up against other human beings in your life. Do you all agree with that statement? I hope you do, because it probably happens not just in and around what you deal with, but also in what I deal with. I imagine that you could speak to some conflict. Maybe you're even thinking about conflict that happened recently, or perhaps a long time ago, or it's happening right now in your life. Well, you don't have to reveal too much, but here's what I'd like to invite you to do. I'd like you to answer the question, some table talk that we could have together right now. Answer the question, what causes conflict? What causes conflict? There's a lot, I think, this is across the spectrum. There's a lot of things you could bring up. But just at your table setting, among those around your table, if you don't know somebody, ask them their name and then tell them to put a name tag on, okay? You can do that to them, okay? And then answer the question, what causes conflict? Come up with some brainstorming ideas. What causes conflict? Go ahead. Okay, let me draw your attention back up here and just name out a couple of things that cause conflict in life. What causes conflict? Just yell them out. Financial issues. Okay. What else? Texting. What was that? Texting causes conflict. Anybody experience that? Oh, good one. What else? What causes conflict? What's that? The color of one's skin. Okay. Yeah. Even racism can definitely cause conflict. Absolutely. Others?
Reading Braille.
Okay, wait a minute. Yeah, we can't relate, Matt. Misunderstandings. Okay, good. Differences of opinion, which leads us right into religion and you can all say it real loud, okay? It's all kind of done, and we're moving on, all right? So on the count of three, say politics, get it out of your system. One, two, three, politics. That can cause conflict too. Is that true? So let's look at this, because conflict, it doesn't end naturally. It has some results, or it causes some things. What does conflict cause? So we know what causes conflict, you know, myriad of things can cause, but what happens when conflict happens? What does it cause? Broken relationships, stress. What else? Misery, contention. Good.
Pain.
Division. Yeah. Anybody get depressed when conflict happens in a relationship that's really dear to you? Depression. Distance. Conflicts creates distance between us and other people, often that are huggable to us, but they're also sometimes buggable. Yeah. So conflict is a very real common issue. It's here. It's inevitable. It happens. It is a reality we live in. You know, the Christmas story talks about how Jesus came and the angels, you know, shared peace on earth. They exclaimed that. Some people think they sung it, but I'm not sure. They at least said it. The myriad of angels, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. God's a God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, predicted to be the one who would bring peace on earth, the peace that would come between us and God through Jesus. As we would know Jesus, we gain a peace with Jesus through the grace of God given through him. And then a peace among people too. God's not a God of conflict, he's a God of peace. And so we're to be, and he calls us to be, peacemakers. We're to pursue peace. So far as it depends on us, the Bible says, be at peace with all men. And so we're called to this. And so it's a good topic around Christmas time. And also Christmas time affords us extra time to get together with the huggable people who sometimes are what? Buggable, yes, sometimes. And so we have more time to get around them. So maybe we can equip ourselves a little bit even today to deal with that. The Bible says this. Finally, in 1 Peter 3 and verses 8 and 9, finally, all of you, let me get there. Finally, all of you, be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now, this passage comes in the book of Peter. Peter wrote it, 1 Peter, the first letter, we say, or book in the Bible. And it's after he's been talking about some relationships and basically how to get along in relationships. And he comes to this and he says, finally, all of you. Now, all of these people that he'd been talking about, there were the marrieds there, and there were the people that were working in jobs, we'd say, that were in that. There were how we relate to government was in there. All of these things that have great potential conflict, he gives and treats individually, but then he says in summary this, all of you, finally, all of you, and he gives some things that can really diffuse conflict. That's what we want to deal with today. How can we diffuse conflict before it escalates? When we're annoyed with somebody because they're doing something and maybe trying to start a little bit of a fire with us, and we're annoyed with them, what do we do in that case to diffuse a potential conflict that might be coming up? It might be with your spouse. It could be at work with your boss or with a coworker. It could be at school with somebody that, you know, is always after you. They're the bully, perhaps, in your life. It could be, you know, it could be in your social engagements. It could be in a church environment, you know, in the places where we find ourselves. How can we diffuse conflict before it escalates? That's what I want to talk about today. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how to resolve conflict from God. What does God say about this thing? And he's the one who made us. He's the one who knows how we're wired. He's the one that knows that we like to respond. Well, how does that scripture say? Evil with evil, insult with insult. We like to retaliate when we're hurt, especially if it's unfair. I mean, it's justified, isn't it, to retaliate and get back, to get even? Well, in some cases we'd say, yeah, you know, I mean, that's justice. We'd say, yeah, I want to retaliate. Well, God says in personal relationships, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Look what he says here. On the contrary, this is counterintuitive stuff, isn't it? On the contrary, he says, repay evil with blessing. And that's my emphasis there in this passage, with blessing. And so among, you know, a number of practical ways we can talk about to diffuse conflict, I'm going to focus on one with us here this morning. This one that that Peter talks about, that's a pretty strong one. He uses this verse and the following here to talk about it. Repay evil with blessing. That can diffuse conflict. God says, the way I like to put this one, to bless those who mess with you. God says, bless those who mess with you. Anybody mess with you? Maybe you were the one that was wrong and they're messing with you because you were, but conflict erupted out of that, or tensions. We're to bless those who mess with us. That's what God's trying to tell us here from my way of understanding it. And there's even an incentive there, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. And so we're to bless those who mess with us. Now let's ask ourselves, what does this word bless mean? It's kind of a churchy word, isn't it? It's okay to say yes. It's kind of, you don't see, how many of you find bless, people use the word bless in your work environments? That's good. Sometimes you can use the word bless. Okay, bless. Because it is a great word. So this next slide just shows that bless equals, in the original word that's used in our Bibles, is this euangelo is the word on the left. Anybody know what the word on the right is? Eulogy. You ever heard that one before? If you go to a funeral or to a memorial service, they'll often use this term as a section of what's going to be talked about. There's a eulogy time. Eulogy means good words. It really means good words, to speak well. Sometimes the word bless is used to, like, we bless the food. We're thankful for the food. It's a thanking. We bless the Lord, O my soul. We're praising or thanking God from my soul. To bless is to speak well of, to have good words for. When we bless, we're speaking well of someone that's messed with us. Really? Is that what you want us to do, God? Will that help diffuse conflict, by the way, just thinking about it? It does. It actually does, because people are geared up and they're getting armed for conflict, and you disarm them with, well, you know, yeah, that might be true about me. I'm not sure. You know, we can talk more about that, but here's something about you that I really do appreciate. Don't make it flattery. Make it absolutely sincere. And all of a sudden, oh. All of a sudden, you're not arming up for the battle. You're doing something different. When I was... If you go to how to communicate, some seminars and different things, you want to communicate something up to somebody that could be a little bit of a struggle for them, you know, or you need to confront somebody. These are important things that have to happen in life, okay? How do you do it? You use a sandwich approach. You bless, and then you have constructive criticism in a respectful, gentle way, and then you bless again. Sandwich approach, right? Because that's the best way for somebody perhaps that needs to hear something that would be helpful to them to hear it. That you're not just against them, but you're for them, and you have some good words for them in respect to that. So that's always a good thing. It's just best, we find in communication, it's best to bless. It's just best to bless in all kinds of communication. You don't even have to have conflict. It'll help, before you'd ever have any opportunity for conflict, if you did bless, it probably wouldn't come, or it would be a lot better situation if it ended up coming. So even conflict with enemies. We're commanded by our own Lord Jesus. He taught this, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Look what he says then. Note this. bless those who curse you. Wow, all this stuff's really counterintuitive to what was norm in our immediate natural reaction. Is if somebody, you know, is my enemy, I'm arming myself to defend me and perhaps to set them straight, right? That's kind of more my norm, but Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Say good things about those who would curse you with their words. That's what he says. Pray for those who misuse you. Bless those who mess with you. Bless those who mess with you. In long time political, I'm going to bring up politics here for a minute. Abraham Lincoln appointed a gentleman by the name of Edwin Stanton to one of the highest posts. We call it the Department of Defense today. It was called the Department of War at the time. Pretty heavy-duty post, but they had been mortal enemies. Abraham Lincoln and Stanton. And Stanton said all kinds of curses against Lincoln. Look this one up. But Lincoln appointed him. Could I say that Lincoln really did bless him? Because no one else probably would have ever done that, appointed him to that office. Because he was qualified for the office. He just didn't like Lincoln. He was an enemy. But Lincoln blessed him, allowed him to have the office because, you know, he justified that that's the right person for this particular job. Well, we could go over and over again in life to see kind of how that happens in our lives. One more verse here. Bless those who persecute you. This is found over in Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay evil for evil. If it is possible, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Goes on to say this, do not take revenge. On the contrary, if your enemy here now, not just somebody that's love huggable and buggable to us, but this is a true enemy now. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That was a shameful thing that people would do sometimes to themselves a little bit if they feel bad about something they've done. And this is a way we help people to understand what you're doing is not a healthy thing for you or for us. But by not taking revenge, rather, counterintuitively, actually feeding them, giving them something to drink, we're doing this. The Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we bless those who mess with us, we're overcoming evil with good. It's always best to bless, to speak good words, to find something about the other person that's honorable, that's appreciative, that's valuable, that's good about them. No matter all the junk in their life that they're doing, bless. It's always best to bless. Okay, got to imagine this. I got two buckets with me, okay? Two buckets here. And I'm trying to get more strength in these arms, but they're full. One's full of gasoline, and the other one's full of water. And right out here, there's a little fire started between two people. Maybe me and another person, right? It's a little fire started. This is my get-even bucket, my gasoline bucket. I have a choice to make. Right? I can throw the gasoline on that little fire. And there's going to be an eruption of sometimes deadly conflict to a relationship, friends. Or I can take the other bucket, it's that bucket of water, and I can just put that out. This is my get-even bucket. This is my get-to-bless bucket. Get-to-bless bucket. The weapon of conflict is right here. It's our words. I'm going to have you listen to a guy. He says this so well, I just said, man, I don't want to take what he says and try to relay it. I'm going to have him talk about it. I call him the tongue teacher. Let's watch this. Watch the screens.
I have an item here that I want us to take a couple of seconds to guess as to what it might be exactly. So I'm going to turn it around, give you a little bit of perspective of what it is. All right, you got it? Well, if you guessed a cow's tongue, you're right. That's exactly what this is. Just look at how huge this thing is. It's almost a foot long and weighs between 3 to 4 pounds. Now compare that to the size of our human tongue, which is only 4 inches. James 3 makes it very clear that even though our tongues are small, that they're extremely significant, that our words have great power. In fact, Proverbs 18 makes it very clear about the kind of power that it has. It says that it has the power of life and death. When I think about the words that have been spoken that I've heard that bring death, that come to mind for me, stupid, idiot, lazy, fat, you'll never amount to anything. Perhaps you can come up with some of the words that have been spoken to you that you've heard in the past that have had an impact on your life that have somehow made you feel like you're not enough. And maybe to this day, those words still bear on your life and you carry around the baggage because of what it was that people said to you. And as a result of that, it's brought a certain level of death. Death to what you could be, death to what you should be, death to dreams that you might have stepped out into that has now held you back because you still hear those words even to this day. It's very true. The power of our words can bring death. At the same time, it's so true that the power of the tongue has the ability to bring us life. I can think of moments when people came to me and said things to me that helped me to move beyond where it was that I was stuck at that particular time. I remember being told I was smart at a time when I didn't feel like I was smart. I can remember a time when I was 19 years old trying to figure out what it was exactly that I was trying to do. And a friend was taking me to a conference, and in the middle of the conference, she just looked over at me and she said, "I believe in you." And from that moment forward, I began to believe in myself. Those words that she spoke to me just brought me such incredible life. I hope that you can think about some words that people have spoken to you that have brought some life to you. I mean, really, what words were spoken that have had meaning to you? Maybe it was the first time somebody told you, "I love you," or "I believe in you," or "I will always be there for you," but they brought you that sense of security, that sense of validation, that sense of support that every single one of us looks for and every single one of us needs. For me, the negative words that have been spoken to me oftentimes overpower the positive words that have been spoken to me. So to help me in that process, I've actually kept a basket here of cards and letters that have been written to me or given to me. And I will take them out from time to time and read them, and it helps to reinforce what's true, what's good for my heart. I read these words and I realize the impact that they have on my heart, and they challenge me about the way that I use my words. I hope too that you will be challenged today and that you'll think about the way that you use your words. Will you choose to use your words in a way that they bring life or that they bring death?
It's always best to bless. Words that bring life and can be, they can change, just change our lives. Bless those who mess with you. Speak well of them. This is God's counterintuitive teaching for peaceful relationships. Wow. Just reviewing this kind of material for me has been empowering just this week. And I hope this is the same for you today. So when the huggable becomes buggable in your life, and when those that you're attracted to are attacking you, that can happen, huh? When politics creates a divide, or even religion, some of you are thinking about upcoming issues like that with Christmas gatherings with relatives and friends. Like, those things can come up. Those are you know, seed beds for potential conflict, but let's be people that bless others all around us this Christmas. Jesus says, blessed, okay? He's telling you now, blessed are the peacemakers, for you shall be called the children of God. Wow. I just want you to take a moment, take out the communication card this morning. All right, we call it our connection card. And on the back, you know, there's always things here. So let me just take a moment here to just say, you know, is anyone here? You know, we're approaching this incredible worship season. Really, it's a worship of our God and what he's done for us, the great peacemaker, to bring the Prince of Peace to bear in on our lives that we might experience the greatest peace we ever could between us and God. Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you recommitted your life to Jesus? Have you been immersed into Christ? Have you identified with Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection? Just in a couple weeks, we're going to have a couple baptisms, and there could be a couple more or a bunch more. If you've never been immersed into Christ, could I invite you to say yes to Jesus, who said, go make disciples to his disciples like us, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we identify ourselves with that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which baptism symbolizes, is an incredible moment for our lives when we take that important step and are immersed into Christ. We're going to, you know, as many as, we're looking for a number of people to have a pastor's open house, so there's that on the back of the connection card. If you'd like to serve on the Dream Team, we have more need for people to come out and serve at 8:30 and at 9 o'clock. And then right after this, after we, about 11:30, after we have time to mix together, we take all this down, package it all away, put it into a tiny box trailer out here and drive it away. And that, you know, we're a church in a box. And so it gives you, it affords us a great opportunity to connect together, enjoy some time, even doing a little work together. And you do things that, you know, you can handle, and it's a lot of fun. So we need people just to help us on teardown. We try to get it done in a half an hour, but whatever length of time you can stay would be very appreciated. That's part of our Dream Team, along with some others. Want to learn more about the Bible, learn more about God and Christianity. I want to just, again, point those out. Because these are ways to take a little step toward God. And I just would encourage you, if you need to take that step even this morning. Now, we're going to have a time where we're going to serve communion, and it's really self-service communion at the branch right this time in our life at the branch. So there's communion tables back here. And so we're going to break in a minute for communion and any other responses that you might want. We collect the cards and any offerings. And so those connection cards, if you make sure those are completed and turn those in, we'd so much appreciate that. But you know, the one who has totally blessed all of humanity is Jesus Christ. And in this very book of 1 Peter, whom we took our primary passage from, these words are said. Listen to these words, and then I'll pray, and we'll serve communion, and the band will be here to do a worship song through it. It says here, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you. So we've been called to some suffering, perhaps even with some conflict in life, right? So let's just kind of add that in. And it goes on to say, it leaves you an example for you to follow. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow. So we're following Christ in his example, in his very suffering. Think about it, because we're going to be observing, remembering his death for us, his suffering for us. He leaves us an example for us to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. Get that? And he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. When great conflict came upon him, he didn't respond to that mess. Rather, he blessed those who were messing with him. Even saying from the cross, Father, I forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. This is the Jesus whom we're getting to know, who we want to make know. This is the Jesus who's Lord of life in our lives and our Savior. He kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, we are healed. We're healed. So God, hear the cry from our heart today. The cry that says, thank you. The cry that says, we praise you. The cry that desires from our very souls to bless you because of what you've done for us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Again, this Lord's Day, thank you for what he willingly did and how he blessed us through that, how he blessed even his captors and those who were crucifying him, uttering those words, forgive them. We get our forgiveness because of what you've done. And so we again remember that around the communion table today. We ask for your empowerment, God, that we might be those that would bless those who mess with us. And always practice blessing because it's best to bless. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name.